Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I'm delighted and privileged to welcome Laura Giardarucoq from New York to the show. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Really honored to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Laura is the founder and CEO of Women for Solutions, which is an NGO that is co-creating the caring economy. She's the principal CEO of Dolium Wines, and she's a social entrepreneur and an impact investor. So Laura, tell me, what would you say are three key milestones in your career or your life?
Well, I guess the first one was when I realized that I'm dyslexic, mm-hmm. and dyslexia now I'm 58, mm-hmm. and I can tell you that was a gift. Mm-hmm. When I was dyslexic and I was in first grade, I couldn't read, I couldn't write, mm-hmm. I had to repeat the grade. So what that gave me is an incredibly and impeccable focus on working hard and because for, you know, somebody would need to understand the letter A and take a few minutes. Mm-hmm. I would take a whole year to learn the letter A. Mm-hmm. So I knew I had to do 100 times more than everybody else.
Correct.
And so this has led me to be, even though against the odds, I studied law in Argentina. Mm-hmm. Then, and so that was the biggest milestone. I think that has really given me another characteristic, mm-hmm. not only working hard, but also focusing on things that matter.
Okay.
Who I admire most and is Gandhi. Mm-hmm. When I read up his biography, I was so touched because he said he could not talk to people, mm-hmm. or express things until he would talk to his from his heart, mm-hmm. and be inspired by what mattered. Mm. And so that's how I started to move into being more purposeful.
Okay.
And so those are the two things. Yeah.
Wonderful. So, you know, Laura, when I was reading about you, you were a senior corporate lawyer trained in Argentina and then in India and the US. And then you decided to move into the social sector or development sector or an NGO. What made you make this change?
Several things. Mm-hmm. So by then, I had worked for practically 15 years in Wall Street. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I worked very hard. I made good money. Mm-hmm. But I had two kids, 2 and 4. Mm-hmm. And then I had a husband. And basically, I got my aha moment that I could not do everything, mm-hmm. but not because it came by inspiration, it came because I had cancer. Mm-hmm. And so suddenly I had to stop everything.
Okay.
And I said, you know, my life is now for my kids because, you know, I can die in a few weeks, yeah. months, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I took care of that. And then I reconsidered myself and I mm-hmm. said, okay, what do I do now? And so I started to be, you know, with what I saved and what I did, I could make a difference as an impact investor. But this is 15 years ago, approximately.
Amazing. And then you decided to set up Women for Solutions.
Yes.
So tell me about what you do in this venture.
Well, as all things happen, because there's a need. And when there's a need and nobody's taking care of it, that's where I fall in. I mean, I always think that the universe brings you those aha moments because it's necessary. And because I can see myself, I'm very purpose-driven. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that, and my spirituality brings me that. I worked enough, so I have a good financial background, mm-hmm. but also that brought me to to become very sustainable through my company in volume, mm-hmm. through the, you know, becoming a B certified mm-hmm. company, highly socially, environmentally sustainable. Mm-hmm. And I realized that women that focus on sustainability mm-hmm. and actually 75% of women worldwide, mm-hmm. 75% of NGO that are taking care of the environment are mm-hmm. women.
Okay.
And then also the fact that when you are a sustainable company, mm-hmm. Who benefits? Mm-hmm. Again, the environment and gender.
Correct.
Gender diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And so because circumstances brought me to create this movement mm-hmm. of women, and we believe that our vision is to co-create the caring economy and build an inclusive and regenerative society. And that's okay. our purpose.
Okay. So help me understand what you mean by a caring economy.
Beautiful. Thank you. I love that question. It's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
We all are born with a need to care.
Correct.
When you asked Margaret Mead, the anthropologist,
mm-hmm.
how did society, civilization start?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
When we found a broken femur bone, the biggest bone of the body, that was healed.
Okay.
Means somebody needed to take care of that person for at least 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids need to care for a few years before mm-hmm. they can be launched, a few mm-hmm. many years.
Mm-hmm.
And so a society, as a humanity, our essence is to care for others.
Mm-hmm.
And so the principles of the caring economy mm-hmm. is to value, at least for what we're doing as Women for Solutions, is to value and to make visible
mm-hmm.
Four things: the care of the environment,
mm-hmm.
the care of work of people, mm-hmm. care of work, I mean care of kids, care of the elder, care of the sick, care of the environment, as I mm-hmm. mentioned, and mm-hmm. the importance of the third pillar is the importance of high quality childhood education, because mm-hmm. when we are between 3 and 10 year old is when mm-hmm. our according to neuroscience and psychology, is when our views and our most important principles and biases are created.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to, as a humanity, we need to take care of that part of that time of our society, because
mm-hmm.
we want at 18 to have good, solid citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And then reskilling is another thing. We need to reskill ourselves, obviously, not only on digital world,
mm-hmm.
but on social emotional mm-hmm. learning.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth pillar is transparency and metrics,
mm-hmm.
because we need to measure the well-being of people, or authentic well-being and regeneration of the environment, okay. in an authentic way. Because whatever you measure, you change and you can actually improve.
Very interesting. So give me an example. Supposing you come across a place where children are not getting the kind of education that you have in your own standards. Do you take over that area, or do you get involved, or do you fund them, or do you have volunteers? How would you handle that?
Well, thank you for that question. I wish I had unlimited funds to do that.
Hmm.
But I do have unlimited energy.
Okay.
And so let's say, what I've done in Argentina, I truly believe social emotional learning is fundamental.
Okay.
So I'm part of an organization called Think Equal.
Mm-hmm.
Think Equal has now an incredible impact. What Think Equal does is we provide a very economic teachings for kids, mm-hmm. 3 to 7 year old, 8 year old, mm-hmm. on social emotional learning.
Okay.
Boys and girls need it.
Mm.
And that's when, and so they can, not only the teacher teaches this, these very simple curriculum, mm-hmm. but also then the kids, when they learn it at home, at school, they can learn, teach it at home. That mm-hmm. is maybe where the most biases are created.
Okay.
So we incorporated that that method, that through that NGO, mm-hmm. Think Equal, in and we have an off a center in India, in Mexico, okay. in Europe, in North America, in Latin America. We have a lot of
press
and in Africa.
Wonderful. So, you know, you, and I'm going to quote you, you said, "I believe in the power of business and the markets to solve the greatest problems facing humanity." Now, you said you are on Wall Street. Is that something you brought from the learnings of Wall Street into the NGO world?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So help me understand this comment.
So basically, when if leaders, and I think COVID has really accelerated this, now leaders who want to persist in their who want to survive in this world need to be servant leaders, purpose leaders.
Sure.
That means that are selfless in the sense that they're not thinking just on making money for the next quarter or increasing the number, the share price, because that will come alone. What they need to focus is on when they make a decision is to think, is that decision going to affect the environment and how? If that is a decision, how it will affect their employees? The community where they operate, and so then it would be a much larger than life. Companies cannot just exist to make money and to have products that are just gonna destroy the environment or people's health. And so that's the new way of
fantastic. So, you know, as you look at the way you are building you know, Women for Solutions, tell me, what are some of the core values you believe in?
Well, our core values are awareness of what is a women, about what is the caring economy, those four principles. We are advocates. We believe in abundance. They're action-oriented, collaboration, co-creation, care, and responsibility.
Okay.
And I say abundance because there is enough for everybody in the world. We just have to be responsible. Just look at the abundance we've had since COVID. Suddenly, billions of dollars have been put in the hands of the government to actually improve our health or potential getting sick.
Yeah.
So what has happened in the last, let's say, 50 years, just to say, regarding environment, where every single government could say, no, we're going to make sure that that plant is stopping that production, or if they continue, they have to pay a heavy taxes because that is ruining the river next to them.
Okay.
Why are those things not done? But when, how is it that a government and all the governments worldwide suddenly within 24 hours can stop our practically all people's liberties and do all these things and spend all these billions, when they could have done this towards the health, you know, of people long time ago? So it's good to have COVID.
Well, one of the other things that they also say about the positive thing about COVID is that because of the lockdown for so many months and so many weeks and months, nature has given, has had time to correct herself and has been able to improve the world without any intervention from humans.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So let's move to the next part of our discussion, which is on Dolium Wines. I just assumed it was a family business.
Yes.
And so would you like to talk about it and how you're associated with it?
Well, it was my father who started. It was his dream to do to create a winery was that was sustainable. This is 27 years ago. And so he built the whole winery underground so that he didn't have to use electricity, because in Mendoza, it's very hot during the day, very cold during the night. So refrigeration is very important in our tanks and so forth. So it was built underground. Mm-hmm. And so that has helped us and saved us a lot of money. Now with the technology, we use solar panels and we are, you know, we don't use pesticides. We use natural products. Mm-hmm. And so we are, we believe that every single winery that wants to produce good wine can be totally responsible towards the environment.
Very interesting. And is this normal in Argentina to be have underground wineries or?
No, we are the only one. It's quite expensive to do.
Must be because I've never heard of anything like this anywhere in the world.
No. There is one of the biggest Italian wineries, Mondavi, has they built the winery inside a rock, inside a mountain. Uh-huh. And again, they use that concept of, because remember, how did people in ancient time keep cool their wines and oils? By putting everything underground. And the name of our winery is Dolium. Dolium means amphora. And the amphora, this shape, was pointed because it was always put under the earth.
Correct.
To keep their freshness and high end.
Very interesting. So, Laura, you know, a little while ago, you spoke about gender diversity. And, you know, you're leading a very, very powerful organization for women. All over the world, there's a lot of talk of gender diversity. There's a lot of talk of inclusiveness. I want your perspective on, is it really happening? And if not, what should be done?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I love this question. Mm-hmm. What's the current situation? I think that I truly believe in the energy of the world. Okay. I think that for the last maybe 10,000 years, we've had a very young or masculine way of dealing with things.
Correct.
That is success, win-win, violence, and lots of things so that we are where we are now. That is wonderful. Technology, everything.
Sure.
But I think the world needs to shift now that we have all these incredible, beautiful things that allow millions of people to go without hunger, to be vaccinated, to have health, you know, to understand what is good or not good. And so now we are shifting worldwide towards a more yin type of society, where, as I mentioned before, leaders have more soft skills in their approach towards businesses.
Okay.
And there's a very strong movement through UN Women, many organizations are saying, okay, what can I do about having more women in my business? What flexibility can we have to the fact that women, you know, are the ones that have a uterus? Mm-hmm. And so when they have a kid, they need at least 3 or 4 years to be out of the work.
Correct.
And then come back. But then when they come back, generally they're not, they don't have the same treatment as they did not leave work. And so I think the paradigms of how we're going to deal with work in the work environment will be shifting. And with COVID and everything, we are moving more forward toward valuing the caring economy. Mm-hmm. We have seen that the 85% of the healthcare workers worldwide are women, mostly underpaid or not paid. And so that has to move forward.
Correct.
We need to understand care for the health is very important. We need to know that all these homeschooling, all these educators, that the parents had to take care. They said, you know what, it's not easy to educate and it's so important. The same with parenting. Now many parents, fathers or mothers who were working, see, it's not easy to care for a child.
Correct.
At the very beginning of that. So correct. I think that everybody is, there's a movement of more consciousness. As mm-hmm. you said, we were all secluded at home. Now we have more consciousness of what's going on, more time to really focus on what matters.
Very interesting. So I'm now going to move to the last segment of our conversation, which is some questions for you personally. So Laura, you know, successful lawyer, achieved a lot, runs a very successful wine company, great NGO. From where you sit today, what does success mean to Laura?
Success means carrying forward a fulfilled life. Meaning it's not just about, when I was a lawyer, it was just about making money and having no time for anything. And so now I believe in a wake up, maybe to 10 minutes of meditation, exercise for at least half an hour, and then do a few other things in my morning rituals. I try to get up at 5 a.m. every day so that I can really, my morning 2 hours are most beautiful moment of the day. And so me to be able to do that and then have the full day of work is key, and that is for me success.
Amazing.
And being able to spend time with family, with friends, and being able to make an impact in the work, make a difference.
Fabulous. I know, therefore, a follow-on question, and I think you already answered one part of it, is that who or what inspires you? And you did mention Mahatma Gandhi initially, but who or what has inspired you?
Well, I think that Mahatma has been my biggest inspiration throughout my life, reading many of his biographies, trying to understand what he's done, his belief on nonviolence, his belief on
Satyagraha.
And so then I truly believe he's been a major source of inspiration. And then there's a lot of women out there like Marie Curie and now and today there's hundreds of other women who are really creating and making a difference. All these unknown women, especially now you find out that the DNA was discovered by a woman, and then men took it over and got the Nobel Peace Prize. And so basically or the COVID vaccine was really this analysis of a woman that for 30 years has been working on the protein. So basically, I feel very confident that women and men can lead hand by hand in a corporation.
I mean, women are 50% of the world, and there's no reason why there should be any difference in the two halves at all.
Can I say a small story that gives you an idea of why I'm doing? Let's pretend we are in the Olympus and the Greek goddesses make a challenge for all the nations of the world. And the challenge is to successfully lead that nation to a better life, better world. So nation number one decides that their way of dealing with it is to have everybody run as fast as they can to reach to that unknown goal. Within a few minutes, hours, they start to lose their kids, their family, their members. Nobody can get forward, and they start to lose energy. Nation number two, they decide that men should be always running first. Women should take care of the kids and the elderly and the sick, and then help the men keep going. And then in that society, suddenly conflicts arises because women also want to run and be at the par and want to. They don't want to always be taking care of the kids while the men are running. Society number three, country number three, that was kind of lagging behind but was taking space, a country where both men and women cooperated together to equally bring forward the whole nation together, sick, and old and children. Mm. And that has, that what it does, it led to incredible respect and and cooperation and a real purpose to move forward. So you can imagine which nation won.
I agree. And you know, in India, we've always had some of the most powerful goddesses of Hinduism are women. And we've always had a very, very high place of respect for women in my country, certainly. So I'm running out of time, but maybe I'm going to ask you one more question. And this question is that if you, Laura, were a role model to millions of children who closely followed you and your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
Because as children and changing myself, I have not thought about that, but okay. I can say that if I lead a very spiritual life, and so maybe I would be more something that I am not great at is social media. I'm not good at. I'm not good at transmitting that. I like to lead from the back, and so maybe I should be more. More open with what I believe and give more examples and be more out there and have, you know, now with COVID, you know, you can really influence people by sharing what is fulfillment, what is a balanced life.
Mm. Very well said. Laura, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I wish you lots of success with Women for Solutions and everything else that you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you. An honor to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.